This is Mae Brussel. It's broadcast number 618, and it's October the 10th, 1983. I saved some of the horrors for the last, or not the last. This is in the middle. This is one of the most disgusting stories I have to share with you. I've been waiting to see where Evil Younger was or is. Evil Younger, for those of you who don't know him, was the district attorney in Los Angeles when Sirhan Sirhan was prosecuted for shooting Robert Kennedy, and he let Thane Caesar, a Nazi organizer right now, off the hook. Thane Caesar came from Lockheed under the Howard Hughes organization again. That's the group that used Robert Mayhew and John Rosselli, Sam Giancana, organized crime, and the hit teams from the crime syndicate. Now, he prosecuted Sirhan Sirhan and would not admit evidence of the second gun. If you get Good Housekeeping this month on the front cover and inside, there's an article based on a new book by Thomas Noguchi, the coroner, saying that there was another person in the Ambassador Hotel and there was a second gun. Well, if there was, this is the man that let him off. And he also worked with Peter Pitches on the story, the saga of the SLA is the CIA, and with the Manson family, the CIA operation for counterterrorism to come down and distrust hippies and musicians and the prison riots in all over up and down the state of the Soledad brothers and the Judge Haley that was killed in the San Quentin Six. Younger was part and parcel, as was Ronald Reagan, through those 8 years, and Edwin Meese, of the total bloodbath that went on in those 8 years. So wouldn't you know, with the Olympics coming up and et cetera, out of the woodwork comes Evil Younger. Well, what do you think he has for you for the November ballot? Let me tell you what he has. He's been working on a jury system, and he wants to change the jury from 10 to 2. That you would be guilty if 10 people find you guilty. Even if you're innocent, you don't need a 12-man jury to say you're innocent. You could be convicted by 10 people. This article from the LA Herald says the proposed state constitutional amendment, whose sponsors include Los Angeles County District Attorney Robert Filibosian and former State Attorney General Evil Younger, is being circulated for the November 1984 ballot. Its numerous provisions include authority, listen to this, the 10-2 jury verdict in everything but death penalty, a revival of the system of closed-door grand jury indictments. Those were the terrors of the 60s that really got people laid back and in trouble. Questioning of prospective jurors by judges rather than lawyers. Now, keep in mind that many of these judges are appointed by Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan and you-know-who, and so the judge would weed out the jurors if they look too liberal or too simplistic and make sure that he gets people from the Bechtel Corporation, such as were on the Dan White case in San Francisco. And he would restrict the defendant's right at preliminary hearings. Now, the criminal charge is to be made by the grand jury alone. That's what he wants, without requiring an open court preliminary hearing. That's to reverse a 1978 state Supreme Court decision. He wants to overthrow that. He wants to reverse another state Supreme Court ruling that required prospective jurors and death penalty cases to be questioned separately from one another on their views about capital punishment. They don't want anyone on a jury who's against capital punishment. They will allow judges to conduct all questioning, as I said before, of the jurors. Now, here's the one that really will grab you if you're not scared yet. About the space stations and the use with grace, they will allow a defendant to be held for trial by either a grand jury or a preliminary hearing solely on the basis of hearsay testimony, a witness, or a document that reports what someone else said to prove the truth that out-of-court statement. That any forged document, any person who hates you, any snitching. Remember back on broadcast number 612, I was telling about the tragedy that Klaus Barbie's going to start in France because he's going to name people who turned in members of their families, fathers and mothers that turned in their children and children that turned in their parents. Everybody was a snitch, saving his behind. And so now the story is that you can be held by the testimony of somebody, hearsay testimony. We're going back to the Middle Ages. And then he says in preliminary hearings, they would prohibit defendants from trying to dismiss the charge on grounds of double jeopardy or lack of a speedy trial. In other words, you can stay in 4 or 5 years and forget it. And they will restrict the evidence and witnesses a defendant can use present at the hearings. They will restrict your evidence and your witnesses, so you have to go through a lengthy, expensive trial because you can't bring in your witnesses when they nail you down. Now, for example, this is the evil younger suggestion that he wants, just coming out of the woodwork at this time. I can't believe we can be set back as we're being set back after the few pieces of progress that were made after Watergate. Now, there's an article, not an article, it's an ad, in the D.C., in the Washington Times, I call it the D.C. Times. If any of you don't take it and you want the address, call me and I'll get it for you, or maybe look it up in the library. It's the Reverend Moon paper, but it's invaluable, and it's the cheapest paper on the market. It's only $19 a month. And that's where you get the social columns of Roy Cohn with Richard Vagary and Mr. Mitchelson, the lawyer for Vicki Morgan, rather. And the wonderful social columns, and all the right-wing organizations list their board of directors. They're not embarrassed by that. So they have a committee now, a declaration of support for the Nicaraguan freedom fighters. And this is everybody who wants to get into Nicaragua and take over where Somoza did, the rape of Nicaragua. They had their chance. Somoza went to West Point and turned it into a battlefield. He had his chance. But now these people, interesting enough, if I have time, I'm going to read you some of the names on the list to show you the political clout that people have who came to this country as foreigners now show and can push on the president and collect names and organizations. Scary as hell, and maybe we'll go into them. One of the committees is Dr. Brutus Coast from the Truth About Romania Committee. Many people from the Eastern Europe where the Nazis came over through various operations like the Belarus Secret describes in its book. Now, just a few names on this list. There's about 150. There's Robert Morris, the fellow that works with Richard Vagary and the late Larry McDonald and with the military and with the space station, and Dr. Graham and Gerard O'Neill up in Houston, Texas, who helped fund the Young Americans for Freedom from Munich, Germany, when Kennedy was killed. Robert Morris lists himself as the National Committee to Restore Internal Security. If evil Younger wants to go back to the antiquated court systems, he wants the Internal House Select Committee, the House on American Activity. That's one of the people, John T. Dolan from the National Conservative Political League. Then he's got some interesting names, Lieutenant General Daniel O'Graham from High Frontier. Again, as I mentioned before, working with John Reese, who's part of the J. Peter Grace Group. Graham is the partner of Fritz Kramer in Washington, and he works with the Western Goals, Larry McDonald, and Roy Cohn gang. He's a party of Roy Cohn that I mentioned, Daniel Graham. Now, one of the names here that's very interesting that you may not remember or don't know at all among these 150 names is Lieutenant General C.M. Talbot, Chief of Staff, Military Order of the World Wars. You like that one? The Military Order of the World Wars. Now, Talbot is working with Mr. Graham, and I presume Mr. Kramer, and Robert Morris, the same gang. And Talbot's name came to me a long time ago. I've had it on the air for you before, but some of you don't know the name. And it's new now because it comes in conjunction with the Howard Hughes Tool Company joining with J. Peter Grace and W.R. Grace and Company, and also with Daniel Graham buying the elections and the control of Howard Hughes for taking over America, the Nazification of America. The process began, according to the book of Noah Dietrich, he doesn't refer to it in those terms, The Amazing Mr. Hughes by Noah Dietrich in 1972. And he tells in 1953 how the new Republican administration had taken office. That's General Eisenhower and Richard Nixon, president and vice president. And Dietrich says, guess who showed up as Secretary of the Air Force when the new Republican administration took over? And Nixon was the protege of Howard Hughes. Guess who shows up as Secretary of the Air Force? Harold Talbot, the same guy who's now working with these committees to get the Nicaraguan slave labor going again. The same Harold Talbot who had been affronted by the snub of Howard Hughes a few years back when he wanted his brother, now dead, on the board of TWA that Howard owned. The same Talbot who turned down his nose when Howard offered him $25,000 contribution to the Dewey campaign in 1948. Talbot flew out to California with fire in his eyes, and he said to Howard Hughes at the Beverly Hills Hotel, this is 1953, you personally have wrecked a great industrial establishment With gross mismanagement, I don't give a damn what happens to you, but I'm concerned for this country. The United States is wholly dependent on used aircraft and their vital defense systems. And he said it was a mistake to entrust it to you. Therefore, he says, I want you to either sell used aircraft to Lockheed or accept a new management that I myself, the Secretary of the Air Force, runs. And you think Hughes is a private business, a private corporation with its privacy on the board because it's one name, Hughes? No, the Secretary of the Air Force goes to him and said, I don't give a damn to you about you. That was in 1953. By 1957, 4 years later, Howard was being drugged out of his head and given Perrier water and chocolate bars, and he was put into a projection room to watch movies over and over again. He began to deteriorate until 1966, when he was never seen again. He says, I don't give a damn about you. And Noah Dietrich says to him, well, wait a minute, we can't do this in 24 hours. He said, give us 90 days. Noah Dietrich says, give us 90 days. And Howard said, who in the hell does he think he is? Nobody, not even the Secretary of the Air Force, is going to dictate how I manage my plant. It is my plant. But without the Air Force contracts, there would be no used aircraft. So he accepted Talbot's nominee to run used aircraft, William Jordan, retired president of Curtiss Wright Aircraft. So 4 years later, Howard is out of commission. In 1953, the used aircraft is run by the military on orders of the Secretary of the Air Force. And now in 1983, the Secretary of the Air Force, the same man, is working with the far-right fascist element of this country, the most extreme right element that is running this country and calling the shots. Now, this ad in the Washington Times had a list of foreign names and emigre, and I want to read you a letter to the editor. Just see what you think about this. It was in the Los Angeles Times because the police department made raids on 43 residences and broke in and broke down their places looking for one person, and they were in error. It wasn't in any of those 43 places. It was identical to the pogroms that took place in Tsarist Russia before the Tsars were overthrown. A man named H. Harishevsky, H-A-R-A-S-H-E-V-S-K-Y, wrote this letter on called Police Raids. I don't really see why you found it necessary to devote so much space to your story on September 23rd regarding the police raids on 43 residences around the Southland. I understand this is common practice around the globe from Argentina to Zaire. Why should this country and a handful of others be different? Why doesn't he get the hell out of this country and go where he came from? Because this country is different and it let this dog in. Okay, let's continue the letter. After all, he says, I'm sure that most of those people, even those in no way connected to the motorcycle club in question, were guilty of something. You think this is getting pretty bad? Guilty of something, and the guiltiest probably doing the most whining about the trampling of some nebulous rights of them breaking down the doors and tearing into their homes. I am sure no decent law-abiding citizen would worry or would object to helping the police carry out their duties as an expeditious, far-reaching, and efficient manner as they see. The police, you help the police like Klaus Barbie did, and we'll get rid of these people. Furthermore, he says, it appears an inordinate amount of valuable time was lost in going through the obviously superfluous procedure of obtaining search warrants. Add that to what Evil Younger has cooked up and your space stations, O. Gerard O'Neill. Another horror story. I'm catching up on some of these, and I'll go back to 007 next week, but I can't miss these stories with you, and there's a pile more. You might have read about the airplane of the CIA bombing Nicaragua, trying to get the Somoza elements back into Nicaragua, and they were using Intermountain Aviation Incorporated. That CIA airplane was the one that was used for Melanthion Spring in California last year. It's a CIA airplane. It's linked directly to Peru, the base of J. Peter Grace and the Grace family. There's a book, The Pirates of Peru. From Peru laboratory came hundreds of millions of fertile flies, and the result was that they got Jerry Brown out as senator to make him look soft and wishy-washy, and got Pete Smith, who's a friend of Gerald Ford and Henry Kissinger and Alexander Haig and the whole gang. They got Pete Wilson in as the senator. Now, the scandal of the Los Angeles Police Department, Western Goals, was that they The police were accumulating files that were supposed to be destroyed in 1975, but were going into the computer of Edward Teller, the father of the hydrogen bomb, and Larry McDonald of Murder Incorporated, and the Huzu Admiral Moore of the far right wing military intelligence, with the links right up to Graham and Fritz Kramer in the databanks. That was in 1975, but I pulled out of my files this week an article in 1974 that material was ordered to be destroyed in 1971 that was in the hands of General Daniel Graham, at the time head of Defense Intelligence Agency. And the article reads, "Spying data retained by the Army." This is January the 11th, 1974. "The Army announced yesterday it has discovered counterintelligence files on political dissenters that were supposed to have been destroyed under a 1971 Defense Department directive." Here's Jimmy Carter saying there's an embargo on the oil. They sell the oil. Here's an order to destroy the files up to 1975. They're kept by the police and put into a $100,000 computer. Here's an order by the Defense Department directive. And General Daniel Graham, of all these corporations and fronts, is part of it. And they were ordered destroyed. The announcement of the Army Secretary Howard Calloway indicates the files on dissenters contain 400 microfilms that should have been destroyed. He said the files contain the results of military surveillance of American civilians prior to 71. Civilian spying by the military was targeted against draft-resistant movements, GI coffee houses, and other anti-Vietnam War activities, and that the Army ascertained the files of one of its Washington, D.C. offices contains information relating to activities of American civilians that should have been purged before now. In a related development, senior government intelligence officials acknowledged yesterday that the CIA accumulated at least two sets of files on American citizens who figured in civil disturbances in the late 60s and in the early Nixon administration, and yet they were turning them over. They kept the names. There was a list from 9,000 to 12,000 names, and they were assembled, and another list of 10,000 names was brought by the CIA as a result of requests from domestic intelligence agencies for information from abroad on United States citizens. So what was to be destroyed in 71 wasn't. What was to be destroyed in 75 wasn't. And they involved the same people. Oh, hello. I heard a noise behind me. I didn't see the door open. Okay. Now, I want to mention the indictment, not the indictment yet, but the court case going on in Rome, Italy, regarding Mame Aja, who said the Bulgarians and the KGB asked him to take a shot at the Pope. The latest from the New York Times from Rome, September 29, says an Italian magistrate was reported today to be preparing a slander charge against the gunman who said that the Bulgarian agents masterminded both his attempt to kill the Pope and a plot to kill Lech Walesa. The magistrate, Ilario Martella, notified the Turkish gunman that Aja, that he was to be indicted for slandering the Bulgarian airline employee who Aja implicated. He's in jail for attempted murder, and he wanted to get out if he told who was behind it, so he implicates Bulgarians and KGB. And after a long, extensive investigation, they found that Aja was a damn liar, and you don't see it in too many headlines. It was the front page of the New York Times, September 30th, 1983. So that story is, I should think, would be over. I don't know where Michael Ledeen is, or Claire Sterling, or Robert Moss and the Terror Network. You know, when the news changes and they don't have it their way, it comes in very quietly. But to cover their bases, there was an article that came out on the wire services, UPI. This is the Houston Post, September 17th. Soviet forgeries. The Soviets are forgers. And there's papers purporting U.S. meddling. And one of the examples was that there are papers circulating around that a secret State Department cable suggested the United States and Italian officials were engineering evidence linking Bulgarian to the shooting of Pope John Paul II. Well, the CIA was in his cell 100 times, and they described the apartment where he was supposed to have been when Mr. Antonov and his wife were not together. His wife was actually in Yugoslavia. That was the first lie that should have broken the whole case. But anyway, now they say, well, if you see any documents, those are forgeries. You know the Russians forged, so don't believe it. Even though the court evidence and a year-long investigation shows that there's nothing to that story. But furthermore, the judge says we'll keep Mr. Antonov in jail, maybe up to 5 years if we need to. They won't release him tomorrow because he knows he's innocent, and he knows the people that were interviewing him and lying about him. So they can't afford to let him out, even though he's innocent. So they said we could keep him in 5 years. Now, I found another foundation. Oh, before I get to that, I want to mention the data bank. One article that was a long time ago in Penthouse magazine that is very pertinent. It's called The Hidden Spy Budget and Visualize the Year and the Inflation Now. The New York Times reporter Ted Zulk says that the United States spends incredible $25 billion a year for intelligence gathering services. This was in 1975. That's about 8 years ago. They were spending $22 billion. Zulk, writing for the June edition of Penthouse, claims that the money is spent to support 200,000 U.S. spies and sophisticated worldwide electronic spying networks, such as Western Goals with Edward Tell and Admiral Moore and Larry McDonald. Okay? Zulk's figures indicate that out of every $100 spent by the U.S. government, $8 goes for spying purposes. He said it is hidden in the defense budget. The largest amount is $11 billion a year. Then it goes the national security budget, the National Security Agency, a lesser to the CIA, part to the FBI, part to the Defense Intelligence Agency, which is Daniel Graham, and to the Treasury Department. And it's the Treasury Department that hired Mr. Caulfield and G. Gordon Liddy and the assassination teams that come out of the Treasury Department. This article from 1975 goes on to say that the multi-billion dollar in U.S. intelligence gathering network is under the control of one man, Henry Kissinger. He writes, Kissinger resents having to answer for his actions to anybody except possibly the president. So is it any wonder that Daniel Graham and Henry Kissinger and Fritz Kramer are close today? They've been bonded going way back to Oberammergau and to Hitler's Germany. And Daniel Graham isn't through. You know, he's a busy man. He's with the High Frontiers. He's with Western Goals. He's with his trade office with Fritz Kramer. Now, I got another piece of action of General Daniel Graham, and you can write to him if you want. He's got a new committee called Leadership Foundation, and it's to stop the illegal drug trade. Imagine the Nguyen Bank being the top admirals and generals and the Central Intelligence Agency with heroin and cocaine, and they haven't even pinned them down. He wants to stop the drug crime. Leadership Foundation is on Dulles Road. That's named for Alan Dulles, who took over all of Vietnam and kicked the French out so they could escalate the drugs into this country. P.O. Box 17418, Washington, D.C., 20041. With him on this dummy front intelligence operation is Senator Orrin Hatch, one of the most oppressive senators in the entire Congress, and Major General George Keegan, who's been pushing for World War III for the past 4 or 5 years going around the country, Senator Jesse Helms, and many of you know what a darling he is, and Dr. Norman Ture, T-U-R-E, former Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Treasury. Now, the ironic thing is that Jesse Helms was holding up the appointment of Mr. Mullen as the head of the Drug Enforcement Agency. He didn't want him for a whole year to be in because he withheld from the Senate the information that our Secretary of Labor, Raven Donovan, had links to organized crime, and he knew it. So he couldn't be appointed for a year. And there was another thing that Orrin Hatch didn't like, the senator from Utah, but last week he cleared Mullen for the head of the Drug Enforcement Agency. At the same time, he's running a drug crime office with the top military brass and the top fascists of the Congress. He has gone ahead with the approval of Francis Mullen. Now, this is from the Washington Post. The Judiciary Committee yesterday voted 14-3 to recommend Senate confirmation for the long-delayed appointment of Francis Bud Mullen Jr. as head of the Drug Enforcement Agency. Senator Orrin Hatch pressed both avenues of inquiry in a 12-page statement, has now resolved all doubts about Mr. Mullen. A special study that Hatch ordered as chairman of the Senate Labor Committee concluded last May that the FBI withheld pertinent allegations from the committee in its consideration of Donovan nomination and that Mullen, as well as other FBI officials, displayed their lack of care and candor in pursuing the ties between Donovan and organized crime figures. In July, Orrin Hatch said he came across several documents concerning Mullen's dealings while he was an agent in charge of the New Orleans office. New Orleans FBI office is Carlos Marcello. And his relationship with Victor J. Lota, a New Orleans bank official. Later, this bank official was convicted of embezzling funds for a drug ring and reputed organized crime activities. Now, Lota did the paperwork at the New Orleans bank for a housing loan to Mr. Mullen, and he concealed it by using the name Bud Mullen rather than Francis J. Mullen, and he had it he concealed it because he wanted the lending. He didn't want to take the lending limit of $100,000. And he loaned the FBI agent in New Orleans money from his bank. Then he was convicted of being with reputed organized crime figures and part of a drug ring. And this Mr. Mullen is now cleared to be head of drug enforcement agency the same week that a man is going to jail for 25 years for saying he killed Mr. Maselli because he was a witness before the FBI investigating Raymond Donovan and he had to be killed. So Orrin Hatch not only releases Mullen and says go ahead and put him as head of the drug enforcement agency, that's bad enough, but then he heads this committee and he says petition U.S. Attorney General William French Smith to stop drug crime. Well, Smith works with Paul Axel from Las Vegas, and Smith is the lawyer of the Gibson, Dunn & Crutch that is in charge of the Los Angeles Police Department, defending them in their suit, the police agents and Western Goals, and taking their material to Washington, D.C. and back to the top officials. General Graham, the stolen material that William French Smith is supposed to be defending while he's the attorney general, his law firm, goes into a computer back to General Graham, who has his drug operation. The name of the data bank computer operation for filling up those space stations, if you want to know the truth, is terrorism and drugs. And that is going to be the key to rounding up people under the excuse of terrorism and drug. But how do you rationalize the appointment of Mr. Mullen at this time and Orrin Hatch pursuing these avenues and then putting Orrin Hatch, putting Mullen in charge of the Drug Enforcement Agency? Now, one last thing before the hour is up. Mr. William Casey got a medal this week as a surprise. It shouldn't be a surprise to too many people. The CIA director got a medal, a special hurried meeting because, in quote, under his guidance and direction, the CIA agency has been strengthened and its health restored. Well, they're flying planes openly down to Guatemala and Nicaragua and Honduras and Lebanon and all over the world. Their policies, their faith has been restored. He says the medal goes for him for his unique insight into the needs of our policymakers. You see, without that 007 going down, the Korean KCIA and RCIA, they wouldn't get through that missile budget and they wouldn't get through the binary nerve gas. He says, you have insight, unique insight into the needs of our policymakers and brought imagination to our operations and reliance to our analysis. He brought imaginations. Andropov said that the Soviet Union, as a total group with their espionage systems and analysis, thought analyzed 007 as being the most sophisticated espionage operation that had ever come about. Definitely he brought imagination. The CIA said he did. And the head of the KGB and head of the Soviet Union said he did, and he got a medal because all the things that Ronald Reagan wants, he got because of Flight 007 going down, besides getting Vicky Morgan tapes off his neck and blackmail and things that he's got to cover his bases for later on. Well, I've got to stop now. That clock is really ticking away. We've got 10 seconds. I'll be back with you next week. This is Mae Brussel. It's KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove, California.